We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Paige Engel. Paige is a travel entrepreneur, number one best-selling author, and international speaker. She is also the marketing coordinator for Polkadot Powerhouse Worldwide. Paige provides guided tours and safe strategies to women and has traveled to more than 20 countries and 350 cities worldwide. While supporting others as a branding strategist and an accountability partner, you can find her celebrating the French lifestyle online by following her on, I'm assuming, Twitter and Instagram?
Everywhere.
Okay. Everywhere. And we'll cover that as we wrap up the show as well. Well, Paige, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here as well. We have a number of mutual connections and we've chatted face-to-face briefly, but I'm excited to dive deeper into a little bit about the world of Paige.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, everyone speaks very, very highly of you, so I'm excited to have this time with you.
Ooh, well, that's fun. Get me all happy, smiley face, ready to go here, right? So you do a number of things, obviously, one of which falls under the lines of branding. And personal branding is something I've personally been doing a lot of research on recently, but I want to know from you, what does personal branding mean to you?
Well, really, I think that personal branding is what people say about you when you're not in the room. It's how you build your persona both online and offline and what that reputation really means to people. It's a combination of your confidence, the strategies and the activities that you all put together to build your platform online so people can really know who you are, what you stand for, and how you can help them.
Ooh, that's really powerful. And you just said that so clear and concise. I love it. But I think the way you positioned it as far as the perception that or the message that's communicated about you when you're not in the room is really what's important.
It's true. Because, Lori, we've all met those people where we see something online and then we meet them in person and you think, wait a minute, there's a disconnect here. Mm-hmm. That's not how I thought that person would be. Or this person is so vivacious in person, but I don't see that online. You always want to make sure that those two match. And that's what having a really good, solid personal brand can do for you.
Okay. So what would be some best practices or how can someone go about building their personal brand?
Of course, I think authorship is the best way to build your personal brand, writing a book. I've helped 40 authors become best-selling authors. But I also think it's really important that maybe authorship isn't your gig, right? That's not your jam. Perhaps it's speaking or having a podcast or doing videos. But something where people can really see what your personality is as well as how you can help people.
Awesome. I agree with the content creation and really... Yeah. Showcasing your expertise through documented content, whether it's right. Visual or text or audio, such as this. But as you mentioned before, you said, so many people were recommending you listen to Social Capital because of the content that's being produced here, right?
Right.
And there's a brand behind that, which made you excited to come in and have a conversation today. Totally makes sense. And really inspiring. I want to learn a little bit more about you helping 40 authors become best-selling authors. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. So in 2015, I actually wrote a number one best-selling book called The Ultimate Guide to Safe Travel for Women. As Lori mentioned, I am a travel entrepreneur and I own a boutique travel company that specializes in tours to Paris and all around Europe. And I wrote this book and I knew that it was going to be, even though I was working with a publisher, I knew that I would have to help market my book. And that's a whole nother can of worms mm-hmm. if you've ever written a book. Most people think it's the hard part is writing the book. It's actually, I wrote a book, now what? How do you market it? And so I gone through this whole process. My book was very, very successful. And then all my friends started writing books, and I wanted to be able to help them get their books and their names out there and their businesses, right? Uh-huh. So I've actually, like I said, I've helped 40 people become best-selling authors, and three of those are New York Times best-selling books. So super excited about that. I just love helping people with that next part of, I wrote a book, now what? You don't want people, you know, necessarily having them in their trunks or in their garages.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you sell more books? And that's what I help people with, with building their personal brand.
I love it. I think that's fantastic that you take, you learned this because you had a very specific goal to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're helping others achieve the goals that they have because of what you learned. Fantastic. Paige, really random question here, but what is your favorite macaroon flavor?
I am a, well, first of all, I love all things French. That's just me, a total Francophile, but I am more of a classic macaroon lover. So my favorite flavors are raspberry and pistachio.
Ooh, both really good. So why are you living in this really cold state of Wisconsin?
I actually grew up here in Wisconsin. My family lives here, but, you know, I split my time between here and Paris and traveling across the country speaking. So it's a really nice home base. It's a great place to raise a family.
Awesome.
And that's why we're here.
Fun. I do love Milwaukee, but
super fun in the summer.
Exactly. As we have, we head into our next big snowstorm.
That's
I don't
right.
even know what number this is this winter. Okay. So the purpose of this show is networking, right? That's the primary focus. My goal is to help alleviate some of that fear that some of our listeners might have around networking. Can you help do that by sharing with our listeners one of your favorite networking experiences that you've had?
So one of my favorite, it's actually two of my favorite networking experiences, is that what you do online can be taken offline.
Mm-hmm.
And my example of that is most people know that I am fascinated and a Paris insider, and I love everything French. So I have met a few people online because of that.
Uh-huh.
Like on, well, one person I met on Instagram because she also loved France. And guess what? She is from South Africa. So we're both from opposite sides of the world.
Uh-huh.
And we actually got to meet in Paris.
That's awesome.
And hang out and have drinks and go out to dinner a couple times. So because we had a shared interest of something online, we were able to take that into real life. And now, you know, we're really good friends. And the second one is also another Paris person, but she's actually from Australia.
Cool.
And she is a writer. And she was actually writing a book in the Louvre. And I was able to meet with her in Paris this year and hang out. And we're friends. And she was able to support me with some questions that I had on a personal level. And it's just great. So just knowing that you can take those relationships from online to offline and in real life, and they can really, really be genuine friendships.
I love that. I think it's just so fascinating. And kudos to you for even taking it the next step. But you, it's easy to connect with like-minded individuals on social media, right?
Right.
It's like, oh, this person likes Paris. I mean, I follow a million people that have miniature dachshunds because I love miniature dachshunds, right? But you next leveled that by having a face-to-face in that was all about that common ground, right?
Right.
Paris.
And I mean, and there's some skin in the game. I mean, if you're saying you're going to meet in Paris, the person's probably serious,
mm-hmm.
right? It isn't like, you know, you're going to swipe the other way
right.
because they aren't serious. So there's some skin in the game. So that's, it's just really cool when you can take those things offline, be safe, and still have fun with it.
Absolutely. Safety is definitely important when you're taking things to that in-person that originally started on the internet, regardless if it's business or personal.
Right.
It's definitely important. So amongst your worldly travels, what did you say? 350 different cities in 20 different countries. I'm sure you've just encountered a ton of fascinating people. How do you stay in front of or nurture these relationships that you're creating as you travel?
One of the things, obviously, I use Instagram mm-hmm. just because people love to eat and travel with their eyes. And secondly, I use LinkedIn. a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that I'm meeting and the capacity that I'm meeting them are in professional environments. So definitely I have a rotation. I use kind of like a CRM system to stay in contact with people and just, you know, really staying on top of social media and seeing what's going on with them and leaving valuable and intentional comments, not just the way to go or, you know, thanks, but really engaging with them on social media. I mean, it's a game changer, especially in this global world that we live in.
Totally.
You know, I have friends who, one of my really good girlfriends, she is in Bolivia. And so it's just super exciting to be able to see what her life is like down there because I can't be there. So.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I mean, totally makes sense visually leveraging Instagram to just kind of share your message and probably follow some others. But LinkedIn is definitely a way to, on the professional level, to stay in front of and nurture those relationships. Can you talk a little bit more about the CRM system that you're leveraging to stay in contact with some of your relationships?
Yeah, well, I use a couple different ones. Mm-hmm. HubSpot is one that I really enjoy. There's also some, I have a, here, let me grab my phone and tell you. So HubSpot's one that's really easy to use.
Yeah.
They have tons of tutorials and content online. The majority of it is free unless you're using more. Most of it is free unless you're using some of their more high-powered solutions that they have. And there's another one that I really love. You know, you can't go wrong with Google. Google, you know, Google Contacts in conjunction with Google Keep. You know, so there are a lot of different things. I think the thing with CRMs is that you have to find the one that kind of meets your needs and works with what you're doing. And there are so many different tools out there. Some people get confused. Some people get overwhelmed. But I would just say, you know, HubSpot's a great place to start. And then you can see some of their other, like they have a sales function and, you know, all these other kind of funnels and stuff. So I would say definitely try out HubSpot because you can use it on your phone, you can use it on your laptop, and it's just a real good solution.
Well, there's a free commercial for HubSpot, which is great. We're big advocates of HubSpot here.
Oh, great. So call Lori Hybe at Keystone Click.
Yeah. maybe we'll include some information about that at the end of the show here. Moving on, though. So what advice would you offer that professional who's looking to grow their network?
So the first thing I would say is to show up. I mean, be present and you know, attend different networking events that you may have locally, or even if, like me, when I'm traveling and speaking across the country, there may be something that I see on Meetup that if I'm in town that night, I'll like pop into. I was just in San Diego this last week speaking, and they had a chamber event, and one of the ladies that was in the audience of where I was speaking was like, hey, we have this chamber event. Would you like to come? And I'm like, absolutely.
Sure.
I'm free. So I went to the San Diego Chamber of Commerce event on Wednesday night. And it was nice because, you know, they do that little LinkedIn feature where you can turn on and see who's nearby and all that kind of stuff. And it was great because like 20 people wanted to connect with me. So that was fantastic. Once we did that connection, then people started coming up and talking to me, you know, just based on my profile, which means complete your LinkedIn profile, people, just based on my profile. So I was able to meet a few people in a new city, and that was great.
Oh,
so I would say show up is the first thing. And the second thing is to reach out and offer support to people. If you see someone has a question online or you're at a networking event and you overhear kind of like a conversation and you actually have the answer to that, give the answer. People really appreciate when you're, you know, just helping on the fly and when you can share your expertise. So I always support people.
Yeah, really good advice. I'm totally for both of those. Show up, be present. I love the tips of when you're traveling. Is there something you can attend instead of just sitting in the hotel room, you know, waiting for whatever, you know, your flight to take place, whatever it may be. And then the definitely reaching out and supporting, really good advice as well. It's being a resource and nurturing a relationship is all about giving. And that's exactly what it is. Give the answer. Really straightforward. I like it. We covered a lot of conversation around digital, and there's been a lot of talk on traditional. So between the two, digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I find value in both. And I really try to live my networking experience 50-50.
Okay.
There's so much value in traditional where people actually, you're belly to belly with people. They can feel your energy, mm-hmm. which is why I really enjoy video.
Yeah.
And
totally love
and
that.
Distributing content, you know, via video, because then people can actually see your eyes mm-hmm. and see your expressions. So traditional is really important, and that really falls into that showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. But then also digital. I think that a lot of people miss out on the digital space mm-hmm. and the things that can start there, like the seeds that can be planted digitally, and then you take them offline.
Yeah.
So I'm a 50-50 girl.
I think it can really go both ways. I mean, there's been some really interesting conversations with past guests that I've had where the relationship starts digitally and then really grows traditionally, or the complete opposite where it starts traditionally and then it really grows digitally. So I like that you've identified a focus of putting some balance between two of the platforms. I think that's really, really smart move to make. Paige, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
First, I think I would tell myself to definitely nurture relationships and more. Like, not thinking that someone is completely out of touch or out of reach, but really trying to nurture those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I would tell myself, and I tell everyone this who's starting on in their careers, is to find a sponsor.
Okay.
And not necessarily a mentor, but an advocate for you. Someone that can tell you when you're great and can also tell you when you're not so great. And they can also help pave the path and make introductions for you that you wouldn't be able to make yourself. So really that kind of more sponsor advocate than them just giving to you, you also sharing with them.
Yeah, I love that. Definitely nurturing relationships more is kind of something that's fairly frequently said as far as one of those going back in times. But identifying or finding a sponsor, I think that's a really interesting concept that you've shared. And I guess elaborate on the difference between a mentor and a sponsor. Let's talk through that a little bit.
Okay. So to me, at least this is my, you mm-hmm. know, assessment. Sure. A mentor is someone that's maybe, you know, two or three levels higher than you, mm-hmm. and you're looking to that person to kind of tell you what the ropes are in that company.
Okay.
Okay. And, you know, you may, in some corporations, they are assigned, mm-hmm. you know, like a big
sure.
brother, a
yeah.
big sister,
yep.
kind of that concept. That to me is a mentor. A sponsor, on the other hand, may be someone that doesn't even work in your department, but may be C-suite or higher and has a different perspective or a different level on how you can actually contribute mm-hmm. to the company and to your career.
Okay.
And that person may move to a different company, but you still have relationships with them.
Yep.
And they can make those necessary introductions for you that'll help you
yep.
grow in your career.
Yep. So you almost need both then to some degree.
I think you really
yeah.
do
yeah.
need both. But a lot of times you're going to find that initial mentor in your own company
yep.
because that's where you're spending the most of your time.
Sure. Yeah. And you're working alongside someone. And yep, that totally makes sense. Really good input and advice to share. Hopefully some young 20-year-olds will take it and do something with it.
Well, right? If they take it, I'll tell you that they'll be hiring us someday if they actually take that advice.
Okay, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Well, first of all, it would be my business crush, which is Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V. And yes, I do think I would be able to do it within 6 degrees. I actually think I could probably do it within 3 degrees.
Okay.
And I have two different ways that I would attack it because he's a very, very busy person.
Sure is, yep.
One would be through the podcast way
okay.
because I have some friends who are very successful podcasters
uh-huh.
and are like movers and shakers and speakers at Podcast Movement.
Cool.
So I would try to go that way.
Yep.
And then secondly, one of the people that I met in that actually hosted me in San Diego is actually friends with Pat Flynn.
Oh, cool.
Go
wow.
figure.
Yeah.
So I would try to, you know, see if I could get something that way
uh-huh.
to go through Pat Flynn to try to get in, a connection with Gary. So it's just really about using multiple connections and multiple avenues and leveraging all you can to make those connections.
Yeah, and to having that set goal defined and then figuring out what's the path going to be and how am I going to get there.
And it may not just be one, which is why I wrote down two.
Which is smart. And I know that Gary also is very open to just people throwing him questions and he just answers whatever he wants to answer.
True story.
He's got some really good content out there for sure. As someone who's interviewing business professionals and entrepreneurs, I'm always intrigued to know how are you, as my guest, gathering new information? Is it reading books, listening to podcasts? What are you reading?
I listen to podcasts all the time. I was just having lunch with a friend and I said, I was listening to this podcast. She goes, really? Because she knows I listen to them all the time. But what I'm reading right now is YouTube Secrets by Sean Cannell and Benji Travis.
Okay.
They are the brainchild of video influencers online.
Sure. Yep.
So this was their latest book that came out late last year. So I just completed that one. Lots of really good tips beginners as well as, people who are already content creating, using video. So I really enjoyed that.
Nice. Good. I haven't heard of that one and I'm intrigued by it.
It's a good one. And then the one book that I read every single year is The One Thing.
It's a great book. Yes.
So that's my yearly read.
Do you find new things in it every time you read
every time.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
It does. But it makes me, that's what helps me to go back to read it again and again, because I know I'm going to find some new nugget that I can apply to my business or my life.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this book, because I've read it 3 times now, and you are not the first person that I've heard that said they've read this book numerous times.
Yeah. It's a good book.
It is. And it's just, it's just an interesting, you don't hear that very often about books.
Right.
Usually it's a one and done, right? So that's quite interesting. Thank you. Paige, do you have any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Yeah, I would say, and I say this to my clients, my friends, my family, is find the one thing that moves the needle in building your brand or building your network and do that.
Yes.
Forget about the rest. If speaking, drawing or writing or singing, whatever that is that helps you shine and build your network at the same time, just do more of that stuff.
So how do you find that one thing then? I mean, ironically, going back to the book there, right?
Yeah. You really need to test it out. You really need to test out how it feels to you. You really need to test out what the engagement is from your audience. You may think that you're putting something out there that's great and it's crickets. Mm-hmm. And then you put something out that you think is mediocre and everybody loves it.
Nice.
Right? So you have to kind of evaluate both of those things. And then when you find that special sauce, just go with it.
Cool. All right. So I'm going to throw a little twist in here and I'm going to let you ask me one question, any question that you'd like to ask.
So the question I'd like to ask Lori Hybe is, what is the one thing that you love most about your clients?
Oh, that's such a good question. I love learning about different industries and businesses. I love being on the agency side of marketing because every single day is new and it's a new challenge. And it's just fascinating. It's kind of like that show, How It's Made, and you go in and see how things are done, whether it's a business, a manufactured product or a professional service offering. It's just fascinating to me. And I just love that. Thanks. all right. So if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you besides Instagram and Twitter, which you already shared, what's the best way that they can reach you?
So I'm available online everywhere. And it's at Paris by Paige. And that's PARISBYPAIGE. You can type that into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere. It's all one thing, Paris by Paige.
Awesome. We will include all of those links in our show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Paige.
Oh, my goodness, Lori. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so excited of all the tips and hacks that you share on your podcast and all of your great guests. So I want you to continue doing your one thing.
Oh, thank you. You know how to make a girl smile, don't you? All right. Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Paige for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.